Good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Tom, and I hope that such that you can take the Word of God and turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 19. The book of the Revelation, one of the two easiest chapters, I believe, to find in the entire Word of God, Genesis obviously being the other, the book of the Revelation, the one we're going to look in today. Well, I hope this finds you well. I know that it finds you blessed, and can I tell you, I miss you like crazy. This is so unique as a pastor to be pastoring and not able to see the sheep, not able to be among the sheep, not able to look you in the eye and take you by the hand and say it's good to see you and I love you and share your burden. But listen, you can call, you can text, you can reach out as often as you would like with whatever you need. And if you need me, if so be, I can come and do whatever. I hope you know. I'll be more than happy to do that. Praying for you daily, regularly, missing you like crazy, just missing you like crazy. But I'm glad we can get together as we are doing the outreach that we're trying to do to keep in touch. Well, we really trust that it's a blessing. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm excited about the season. I love Easter. I love all things about it, and what a great truth and great proof the resurrection of Jesus Christ was. Now, as all of you know, probably it is what is known as Palm Sunday, and I'm going to preach a message at least in some degree along that line. I'm going to begin reading in verse 11 of chapter 19 of the Revelation, and I'm going to read down through and include verse 16, and then I'll share the message that I'm excited about that I believe God has laid on my heart, and oh, how I pray it is a blessing to you. John said, and he was an eyewitness of this, by the way, if you remember back over in the beginning of this book, Jesus told him to write about the things that he had seen, the things that are, and the things that shall be. Wow, John was telling us about the things that shall be, and listen, folks, I don't believe these things we're going to read about today are too far off. But John said, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And he was clothed, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, I love this, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to talk to you a little while today, the good Lord willing, about this. The King is coming. Hallelujah. The King is coming. Through the night last night, of course, you all probably do something similar to what I do. There are times that I wake up. I'm going to wake up. I'm glad to say I'm praying. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm maybe finishing a prayer that I'd started the last time I was awake. I'll ask the Lord maybe what His will is for me the next day, or what message I ought to preach, or what scripture I ought to look at. And just as clear as day, friend, this text came, the King is coming. Thank God, I'm glad He is, aren't you? I'm glad He is. Now, if we were to turn over in the book of Matthew chapter 21, the book of Mark chapter 11, the book of Luke chapter 19, or the book of John chapter 12, we could read about what is known as Palm Sunday. And that day, that special day in the life and the mission of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when He was here in His first appearing, at His first coming, we would find, if we would take a little time, and we've done that before, we could find that this day was the fulfillment of a great day of prophecy. A day that was uttered nearly 1,000, well, nearly 500 to 700 years before. Maybe I could say it that way. It was fulfillment of one of the greatest prophecies we know anything about in the entire Word of God, and that is Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. Oh, what a great day that was. And when Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, Mary's virgin-born Son, on the back of a mule and a colt, rode into the city of Jerusalem after weeping over it as He viewed it from Mount Olivet. Oh, as He was riding, they were throwing coats in the way, palm branches in the way, and crying, "Hosea, or save us now." They were crying, "Hosea," to the king, because that day He was truly presenting Himself as He was in truth. "I'm the Son of David." Oh, listen, that heir, that rightful heir of the throne of His father David. What a great day it was. What a great day it was when they were crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," when they were saying, "Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord." Oh, Hosanna in the highest. They were saved. What a great day that was. What an exciting day that was when possibly and probably upwards of 2 million people had gathered from Dan in the north, and what it would be, Beersheba, down in the south, when they came from the west on the coast of Israel and from the east to gather at that place where God said, "Listen, I'll put My name." Oh, what a day that was. What a great event this was. Now listen, how many people call it His triumphal entry. And it was an amazing day without a doubt. I don't believe that up to that point in time that Jesus had ever been more kingly than He was. And He was a king. Do you hear? Listen, He was born a king. He lived a king. He died a king. He reigns as a king. He's coming a king. I say the King is coming. Glory. Hallelujah. But that day He was a week from the cross. That day that they were lauding Him and praising Him. I'll tell you what, friend. The next week another crowd would cry, "Nail Him. Nail Him." Oh, listen, how fickle people are. But I can't help but think on that day, although many scholars, most Bible writers, refer to it as a triumphal entry. And He was triumphant. I understand that. I understand that He was kingly. I just said that. I understand that He was in control. I've already preached that. He was not a victim here. Remember, I preached that they said not on the Lord's Day, lest there be an uproar among the people. And yet, I believe that was my radio ministry this morning. But here, friend, listen. Here He was just a week from here. He would know the sting of the nails. He would know the pressing of the crown of thorns on His head. He would know the deep wounds of being scourged by Pilate's army. He would know the ridicule of soldiers spitting upon Him, smiting His face, ripping His beard from His face. All the smut that they would say. The mockery that they would put up, the rejection of Him, the denial of Him, the betrayal of Him, the selling of Him. Oh, here He was. And they were crying, "Hosanna." But listen, friend, I believe in chapter 19 of the Revelation, we have the true triumphant entry, triumphal entry, whatever you want to call it. You say, "Preacher, why?" Well, He's coming again. Hallelujah. Yeah, He's been here once. You know that He has. I know that He has. The world knows that He has. Though they're not looking for Him, I am. And so are you if you're listening to this preacher. Chances are, so look, unless as we think about the King is coming, think about these three little thoughts. Oh, listen, can I tell you something that I'm going to tell you again? If you've got your Bible, run over quickly to the book of Acts. Listen, that only book of history in the New Testament. And if you look at verse 11 of chapter 1, you'll find this praise from the angels falling from the lips of those two witnesses that watching His apostles look up at Jesus being received out of their sight by a cloud. They said, listen, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? And here's the phrase I want. He said, they said, this same Jesus. Thank God. Listen, folks, He's coming back again. He's coming back again. How about you say, when is He coming, preacher? Well, would you listen how phenomenally insightful this is. You're probably waiting with bated breath for me to tell you something. Well, here it is. Are you ready? Get your pencil and paper, write it down, won't you? When is He coming again? Well, here it is. When the time is right. Hallelujah. I don't know when that day is, nor that hour. Nobody else does either. But one of these days, and I believe it's soon, God's the Father's going to say, okay, son, it's time to go get your bride. It's time to go get your children that you've bled and died for, that you purchased with your blood. It's time to bring them home. I believe that day is near, friend. I believe that day is near. But let me be just a little more specific. It's going to be at the end of Daniel's 70th week that he prophesied about. Oh, that infamous day. Bless God, that infamous period of time. That infinite period that's divided in a 3.5-year segment, two of those. That period of time, I believe without looking, that Jesus referred to it as in the book of Matthew 24, verse 21, as the great tribulation. Oh, what a time it'll be. I believe Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 30, I don't remember the verse. You read the whole chapter, you'll find it. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, his travail, the birthing, or actually the new birth of the nation of Israel. He's coming to the end of that 7-year period of judgment that's about to fall upon planet Earth. It's that period of time that precedes. Bless God, the setting up of that kingdom age that He had promised to the nation of Israel in the Palestinian covenant. That time that He promised. Bless God to David. When He said, look, I'll make you a promise that you'll never lack a man had to sit upon your throne. Oh, it's coming to pass. Listen, it's been postponed. We're in the age of grace, the dispensation of grace, or the church age, whatever you want to refer to it as. I want you to know, bless God, listen, after we're raptured, after we're snatched away, after we're called up, after the church disappears from planet Earth, there's going to be a time of judgment on this earth. You'll find it in Revelation chapters, beginning actually with chapter 4 down to chapter 19. And it's known as the tribulation. It's known as what I've already told you, Daniel's 70th week and Jacob's trouble. But listen, friend, I want you to know something. That when the King comes, He's not coming. Bless God in the rapture. No, no. He's already done that. He came for His saints just some 7 years before this period of time. Hey, I want you to know that this is the revelation that I'm talking about. When the King is coming, it's known as the revelation. I listen for the rapture. He came for His saints. In the revelation, He's coming with His saints. And if you don't believe me, how about believing a man by the name of Enoch, who was, the Bible said, how the seventh from Adam. And he said in verse 14 of the book of Jude, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam, I'm about to get happy, hallelujah, I prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. Hallelujah, friend, I'm telling you something. The King is coming. When He comes in His revelation, He'll not come to meet us in the air, but He'll come, bless God, to a meeting on planet Earth, to defeat the Antichrist, to bring in the kingdom age, in which knowledge shall fill the earth, according to Isaiah 11 and 9, as the waters cover the sea. Bless God, it's about ready to happen. I believe that with all of my heart. The Bible said His feet shall stand again on the Mount of Olives. I know He's coming to the Valley of Jezreel to fight that great battle of Armageddon. I don't know where He'll show up first, but hear this old preacher. Bless God, I know He's going to show up. Hallelujah. The King is coming. Amen. And now in chapter 4, I want to draw your attention to something that I think is very beautiful. In chapter 4, John said in verse 1 or 2, he said, after this, I saw a door open in heaven. Oh, isn't that amazing? But over here in the Revelation, in chapter 19, how do you know what John said he saw? He said, I saw heaven open. Hallelujah. You say, why the difference? Well, listen, friend, the King's coming. I'm that one that has regal royalty. I'm that one that's majestic. That one that is glorious. That one that possesses all power in heaven and earth. Oh, listen, He's coming again. Now, I want you to know something, friend. And then I'm going to move on. And this follows the marriage of the Lamb. Do you hear? You find that in the beginning of chapter 19. Or you say, preacher, what's been going on with the church earlier than that? What's been going on with the church? Well, we've been to the Bema. We've been finding what our place will be in the kingdom. We've been having our spots and wrinkles pressed out at the Bema seat of Christ. But oh, look, friend. He's taken a bride. He's had a marriage. And you know what? Bless God, there's going to be a marriage festival. And there's going to be a marriage supper. And I believe it'll be held on planet Earth. Do you know that? And bless God, it'll be followed by the longest honeymoon that man has ever known about. But look, when is He coming? He's coming when the time is right. And you say, preacher, who is coming? Well, glory to God. Let me say it again. The King is coming. Hallelujah. Hey, it's the same one that said in John 14 and 3, I will come again. It's the same one again that the angels referred to in Acts 1 and 11. It's this same Jesus. It's that same one that Zechariah said in his prophecy in chapter 12, verse 10. And that they shall look upon Him whom they have pierced. But can I say something? Bless God, though He's the same, He's different. Though He's the same, He's different. Now you say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, He's going to have a body of flesh and bone, and not flesh and blood. He's going to be possessed with those nail prints, not scars. You see, scar, listen, is the evidence of a healed wound. But I believe those wounds that He received in the house of His friends are still there. I believe His side, bless God, that He invited Thomas to stick his hand in, is still open. Listen, the writer said in Zechariah's prophecy, and they shall look upon me, Him whom they have pierced. And John said in Revelation 1:13, he said, look, now look, look what I did. He said, I looked and saw. And he said, in the midst of seven candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man. And John said, here's what I'm saying. He's the same, but He's different. And John said, listen, I know Him. He looked like the Son of Man when He walked on planet Earth. But wait just a minute. Have not seen Him in His glory. Have not seen Him in His regal glory here. Have not seen Him dressed like the high priest. Or when He comes back in the revelation, bless God, as that conquering warrior. Hey, never fear. It'll be Jesus Christ. I'm the virgin-born Son of Mary. I'm blessed God, that babe of Bethlehem who grew up in Nazareth. Who headquartered His earthly headquarters in Capernaum, who died, bless God, on a hill called Calvary. Oh, listen, who ascended to the right hand of the Father. Oh, He's coming again. Let's contrast some things, if we may, between His first coming and His second at the revelation. Oh, I like this. Bless God. He came as a babe the first time, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. But listen, folks, He'll come the next time as a king, His eyes as a flame of fire, leading the armies of heaven. He came the first time meek and lowly, but He'll come the next time in power and great glory. In fact, listen to what He said. Himself, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24. And I want you to know, those religious who's who have gotten the message. All He said in verses 27 through 30, He said, "For this, as the lightning shineth out of the east and shineth even in the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers fall from the heavens, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." But now listen to this. And then, hallelujah, hey, the King is coming. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven." Watch this. "And there shall then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Hey, can I tell you, friend, He's coming again. The King is coming. And when He comes, He's coming in all the glory that He had before He laid it down, entered into the stream of humanity, took upon Himself the form of a man, and fashioned like a servant. Oh, listen, He'll be glorified with that Shekinah glory He had with the Father before He left. Thank God. Listen, He's coming again. He came then in some degree of obscurity. Only the angels attending His birth. The animals were watching when the world was sleeping. But oh, listen to what the Word of God said here in the Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Oh, it won't be like it was the first time. "Behold, He cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see Him, and all they which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Even so, amen. Thank God. Thank God. Listen, so be it, as what John said. Hey, friend, listen. We're going to see Him. We're going to see Him. Now listen, you just heard about the clouds. We're going to meet Him, and we're going to gather with the dead in Christ in the clouds. Meet the Lord in the air. But when He comes in His revelation, the thing that will cause the nation of Israel to recognize Him will be that Shekinah glory cloud that will encircle Him, that will infuse Him. Bless God, that will actually come from Him. But listen, He came the first time riding a donkey in great humiliation, with peace, not striving, nor crying, even refusing to break a bruised reed or to quench a smoking flax. According to what He said, Matthew did in chapter 12, verses 19 and 20. But oh, friend, listen, I'm the King that's coming. Is soon to come with a rod of iron by which He'll smite the nation. He'll tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. I'm telling you, the next time it'll be different than it was the first time. He came then to a cross and a crown of thorns. Bless God, He came to a reed for a scepter and death on a cruel cross. But listen, when He comes back, He'll come back to rule. He'll come back to reign. He'll be wearing many crowns. He'll be wearing crowns, bless God, that show His regal glory. Bless God, listen, it'll be a diadem, I believe. He'll come back not to die again, but to live forever and to reign all the universe, thank God. Hey, He's coming back. And remember the title that Pilate placed on His head, over the head of Jesus on the cross? It was closed. It says, "This is Jesus of Nazareth. I'm the King of the Jews." That fell short. It fell way short of the truth. But I'll tell you, hallelujah, when He comes back, when He comes back soon, we'll see His true. We'll see His true name. We'll see His far-reaching title. We'll see it, bless God, covering the vast regions of the universe. And it'll be this, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And to that I say, glory. Hallelujah. So look, the King is coming. I'm just about done. Just a couple of more things. Give me that much more time and attention, would you? The King is coming. When will He come? When it's right. Who's going to come? This same Jesus. Well, why will He come, preacher? Listen now, this is simple too, but it's profound. He'll come because He said He would. His Word promised that He would. We've got prophecy record that He would come. Listen to what Paul told Timothy in the first letter that bears Timothy's name in verses 16 and 17. And he said, well, let me back up. Let me get one other verse to go with it. Well, let me get verse 13 too, since I'm preaching. He said, "I give thee a charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good profession, that thou keep the commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now get these next two especially. "Which in His time He shall shew who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light which no man can approach unto, where no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting." And Paul said, amen, and so do I. Bless God, listen. When He comes, He'll come to show who He is. I'm that true potentate. I'm that true King of Kings. I'm that true Lord of Lords. Now I want you to note something. Here back over in chapter 19 of the Revelation, and I'm getting done. I want you to note in verse 16 something. He makes reference to His vesture that's been dipped in blood. And on His... And a reference to His thigh that had a name written thereupon. Can I tell you something about that? Do you ever think about the thigh? It speaks of power. And that vesture, do you know what it speaks about? Well, a vesture is a garment, something you put on. But I'll tell you what, this speaks about the power that Jesus Christ has, because the position that He fulfilled, that He occupies, and the honor that's due His name, and the authority which He has. Hey, friend, He's coming. When He comes again, He'll be riding a white horse, which is the animal of a conquering, a victorious King. He'll be leading the armies of heaven. Thank God, I believe that includes me and you. I believe that'll be some angels. I believe that'll be the Old Testament saints. I believe it'll be the tribulation saints. But thank God, listen, He's coming back to rule and to reign. Oh, listen, when He comes, He's not only going to have a vesture dipped in blood, not going only to have a name written on His thighs, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but He's going to be wearing many crowns. You say, why? To show that He's the one true ruler. I'm the one true ruler of the universe. Remember, the message is, I'm the King is coming. I noticed John said in the beginning of this passage in Revelation 19, how that He's true and faithful. He's the faithful and true witness, as opposed to the lie that had preceded Him and wrought so much havoc on planet Earth. Now let me ask you, sir, ma'am, in closing, I need to ask you, how do you know Him as your Savior. Listen, whether or not you ever recognize Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords here, one day you will. One day you're going to bow before Him. One day you're going to declare before God the Father that Jesus is Lord to God's glory. Why don't you do it today? If you don't know Him as your Savior, He came the first time as a lamb. He's coming back the second time as a lion. He came the first time to seek and to save. He'll come the next time to judge. And boy, listen, what's yours in that judgment will be yours for all of eternity. Hey, listen, repent of your sin. I realize you're a sinner. I bless God. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God for Christ's sake to save you. I tell Him you'll be lost forever. Tell Him you're hell bound if you don't know Him as your Savior. And ask Him by the grace of God for the glory of His Son to save a wretch like you. Father, I pray that You would touch and save that man, woman, boy, or girl that's calling on You right now. Lord, give them that peace that passes understanding. I put Your blood on their sin. I seal them with Your Spirit. I give them that internal witness, Lord, that they belong to You. And Lord, help them too to live in the hope and the fact that Your Son is coming again. Thank You, Lord, for what You promised. Thank You for what You left. And thank You for what You've allowed us to look to in a day that's soon to come. So, Father, until the day that Your children are able to look on You face to face by Your grace, for Your glory, we're going to continue to look to You by faith. Have Your own way with us. Save again the lost. Reclaim the backslider. Glorify Your name. And we'll give You the praise and the glory for it all, for we ask it. I ask it in that name that's above every name, the name of Jesus, Your Son, my Savior. And all of God's people said, Amen.